invite you, if you will, to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We continue on in a series of messages. We first took a look at that of worship of our Lord, which we are meeting together today to do, to worship our Lord. We need to worship our Lord collectively, corporately, and also personally. And then making the differentiation, they kind of overlap. There's times that worship and service do overlap, but we're taking and peeling those apart in the Scriptures and taking a look for now, after looking at worship for some time, taking a look at service, which we have addressed in several messages, and having the asking the Lord to speak to us through the Scriptures about service and just different aspects of that in our lives. As the children of God, we are called to such, to worship and to serve our Lord. And it's by the Scriptures that the Lord takes us and teaches us about these. Here in this epistle to this Philippian church, a church of Macedonia up there north of the Aegean Sea, we've touched upon and mentioned about this church in our study of Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians on Sunday afternoons. And the apostle is writing to this church. And in this epistle, in verse number 1 of chapter 1, he declares that he and brother Timothy are the servants of Jesus Christ. And writing to the saints there. In chapter 2, we want to focus on these first 11 verses this morning and see what we have, what the Lord has given us here, and how to be a servant like Christ Jesus. How to be a servant like Christ Jesus. At the beginning of these messages and being a servant, we took a look there in the Scriptures in the Gospel of John about how the Lord Jesus washed the disciples' feet. It's really a marvel to us to consider that the Lord Jesus, there after the Passover and after the Lord's Supper, and he instituting such, that he would wash and gird himself, lay aside some of his garments and gird himself with a towel and take up a basin and fill it with water and go around and wash the disciples' feet. To first consider our Master, our Lord, our Savior, our King would do such a thing. But he did so with intent and purpose, an example to us. We don't take this of foot washing as an ordinance in our churches, but certainly, as our Lord said, we need to be willing to wash one another's feet. And how it is with us naturally is it's typical. It's pretty typical. You don't want me touching your feet, and I don't want to touch your feet, and I don't want you touching my feet, and you don't want to touch my feet. It's that way with us. Isn't that an interesting thing? That's typical of us. So just leave our feet alone. But our Lord washed the disciples' feet, leaving us an example about how to be a servant. Preached a message in that regard about how far did Jesus go? Well, he went all the way. Well, here in Philippians chapter 2, the apostle writes to this church to give them another account of the Lord and how he is came and is a servant and an example, a reminder and words, the Scripture from the Holy Spirit of God on how we are to be a servant like Christ Jesus. If there be therefore any consolation, Philippians 2 verse 1, in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. He starts off here by presenting, in Christ, is there any exhortation? Consolation. Is there a word of direction towards you and me? If there be any consolation, any exhortation in Christ, look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we be encouraged? Can we be taught and instructed by him? If there be any comfort of love, and yes, that word love there is agape love, love with legs on it. As we look on at Christ, is there any comfort of his love and instruction towards how you and I are to love? If any fellowship of the Spirit. Interesting that the apostle, the Lord would bring that in there. These things have to do with our fellowship with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit that the man Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, having all the Spirit of God as a man. If there be any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies. And this passage gets down to the heart. I didn't mean to say it that way, but it's true. It gets down to the heart of the matter. It deals with us about the inside of being a servant. Listen to these words of this passage. You and I, we can take, and we are to, mortify our flesh and take our bodies and our will and our direction and the things that we do, our conversation, what we do, what we say. We can take what we do and what we say, and we can take it and we can quell it down. We can take it and we can stifle what the flesh wants to do and bring forth what the Lord wants us to do and how He wants us to be. But inside, we do have at times a warfare and a wrangling, and we may be smiling on the outside, but we may not be too agreeable or smiling on the inside. But the Lord tells us, like Christ Jesus, we need to get the inside straightened out too. Any bowels and mercies. Interesting, as we take a look, if you take a look at this word bowels in the Greek, it's talking about the spleen. We talked about that here recently about from the heart, where that in the scriptures where it's talking about from the kidneys. You know, our affection and our care, our compassion, it doesn't come from any of our organs, does it? It comes from that part of us that is, it's in our minds, it's in our brains, it's in our souls, it's in that us, that part of us that is us. We being saved, that alive part, the personality that we are, the care, the things that we think about in our minds. Is there, be any bowels and mercies, compassion, a care for what the Lord thinks and what you and I are to do truthfully from within? A taking of bad thoughts and pushing them away and asking the Lord to help us when we just don't want to do what we're called to do. A changing of our heart. As we've looked at our church here in our study of 1 Corinthians on Sunday afternoons, where the Lord tells us that we need to bring every thought captive to Christ. See, it's not a free run in our hearts and our thinking. We can just think whatever we want to do, and that's kind of like the playground that we have, and we go ahead and take our flesh and make it subject, what we say and what we do, subject to Christ on the outside, but then just run wild with our thinking. No, we're not called to do that as the children of God. We're called to get our inside subject to Christ too. Bowels of mercies. Is there an exhortation in Christ? Is there an example that would show us the comfort of love? Is there that of Christ, our Lord Jesus, our Savior, that would show us the fellowship that we have with the Spirit and in the Spirit towards one another, towards our Lord and what we're called to do? If there are any bowels and mercies where we would really have a care and compassion, a yearning for our brothers and sisters, for our Lord, what He's called us to do, and for the sinner. He says here, fulfill ye my joy, the apostle says. If you can learn anything from Christ, He said, obey Him, obey the Spirit, obey the example of the Lord, and fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Not like-minded with one another, although all of us are to be like-minded like Christ. But that's what it is, like-minded like Christ, and therefore we would be in agreement one with another. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love as Christ, being of one accord, of one mind. You know, and each church should be in accord. You know, a church can be in accord, but not be in accord with the Lord. We have examples of that in the Scripture, don't we? But we need to be in one accord with our Lord and with one another. The example of how to be a servant like Christ Jesus. He says here, let nothing be done through strife, contention, wrangling and fussing and quarreling with another. Or let nothing be done through vainglory, the seeking of self. My way or the highway. No, that's not what we're called to do. But in lowliness of mind, and there we are, it touches upon it again, the way we understand about the inside of us, our minds. Lowliness. Humility. The scripture's not talking about the saint to be groveling and just groveling and trembling over in the corner, to be of no use to our Lord and to one another, but to be of the attitude and way of our Lord, which he will speak to us about. Don't let it be through, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, the way the world wants, self-promotion, self-exaltation, which he'll speak about the end of the right way in this passage, not through contention and politic and working behind the scenes as strife, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. To always desire the edification, the building up, the priority, the going first to our brothers and sisters, and not that of self. We live indeed and are surrounded by a self-promoting world. But our Lord Jesus, he didn't promote himself. You know what he did? He promoted us and has saved us. Look not every man, verse 4, on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, there's a balance in this. We know about, well, sometimes I've just been nosier than I should be. It's not a call to be nosy. It's not a call to be nosy, but it is a call to care and to have concern. You know, as you and I look upon one another's lives, we can see things. It's just that way. We see our rough spots. We see our rough edges. We have our preferences. We have the things that just don't appeal. One thing appeals to one and one thing appeals to another. And I'm not talking about things that are sinful or wicked. I'm just talking about the way it is. People are people and people are different. We see the error of our ways. We see the wrong way of our attitude as we would take and compare that to the word of the Lord. We are known by our fruits. By our mouths, we reveal our hearts. The scripture makes that very clear. And so as we look on to one another's lives and we see those rough spots, we have those thinking of how it compares to the word of God, we always need to introspect ourselves. The Lord says, be careful, don't be a hypocrite and overlook your own faults, Jim. But we need to have care and compassion for our brothers and sisters in Christ, even to the point sometimes where we walk up and stand up beside and say, hey, you need to think about this and give consideration to hear to what's going on in a right way. But at the very least, pray. At the very least, pray that our Lord would help. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The sinner without Christ needs a Savior, and we need to consider and look upon that with them. Our brothers and sisters, they may be carrying a burden that we can help them with. They may need help as they grow, never forgetting about ourselves and the needs that we have. Let this mind, verse number 5, be in you. Here's the extent to which Christ did this, not looking on his own things, but looking on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus. This is the lowliness of mind that is spoken about in verse number 3. Who being in the form of God, always with the Godhead, one of the Trinity, from everlasting, hard for us to grasp that, but always has been, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't hang on to that so tight that he would never leave that estate. He was willing. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, listen, here's our target verse, but made himself of no reputation. The lowest of the low upon the earth, born in obscurity, born to a virgin of Galilee, who the world knew nothing about. Oh, yeah, she had her family, she had her friends, but the world didn't know anything about our Lord's mother. The world knew nothing about this man, both of them being of the lineage of David, but this man, Joseph, our Lord's stepfather, the world didn't know anything about them. They were poor. They were of that town, Nazareth, a town with a terrible reputation historically, but made himself of no reputation. He wasn't born into a king's house, an authority figure of the day, a governor or a ruler there in the land. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. He was of the servant class. And he became the servant of men and of the Lord. Took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. The Lord stepped down from his glory in heaven, and however that was in eternity, when the Lord purposed what he purposed in the creation and the salvation that he would bring and win for his people, the Lord Jesus said, I will give up, I will lay aside my glory, and I will become a man for the sake of our own, speaking to the Godhead. The Father had called him to do so, and he says, Son, you need to go and you need to become a man to be a Savior for our people, for sinners. And the Son was totally willing to do so. How can such a thing happen? And how can that take place? You and I were so captivated and oh no, only time, but before time, the Lord was willing. Our Lord Jesus was willing to do such a thing and purposed to do so. Time, when the Lord created it, ticked on for 4,000 years or so. And then, you know what? When it came time to perform it, he didn't back up from it. He didn't make an excuse. But he obeyed the Father. And the scripture speaks to us much about the submission of the Lord Jesus to the Father in these things of coming. How to be a servant like Christ Jesus. He obeyed. He was willing. And understand, he was willing not only in that he took himself and his physical body. Of course, the Lord has no sin like you and I. But he just didn't obey in body and not in heart and mind and soul. But he obeyed and was willing through and through. He was joyous to do so. He was willing to do so. He indeed looked not on his own things, but every man. He looked on others' things also. He was of lowly mind and heart to come the way that he did. And he took our sin and bore our sin from Gethsemane to Calvary indeed, and paid for them on the tree. He was made as if he was the lowest and the worst sinner ever for our sakes. And he didn't say, well, that shouldn't be to me. I shouldn't subject myself to that. After all, I'm the Son of God and I'm the glorious, I'm the manifestation of God bodily unto mankind. No, he was willing. And the Father took our sins and placed them upon our Lord Jesus, and he willingly bore them for us. How to be a servant like Christ Jesus from within and without, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, verse 8, he humbled himself. Humility. Lowliness of mind. You know what the world promotes to you and me today, to our children? Do not be humble. There's weakness in being humble. You should not be humble. You should be all about yourself. But that's not the way the Lord Jesus did. And praise be to God for it. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. God, who had never known death personally. Oh, the Lord knew about death. He promised death to Adam and his own. He told Adam, in the day that you eat of the tree, thou shalt surely die. But the Lord himself never experienced death. God Almighty had not. He is life and light eternally. But he became a man so he could die, so he could have blood to shed, that he might be the all-sufficient Savior for his people and for sinners. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. And if that wasn't enough, not just death, but even the death of the cross, where God Almighty himself tells us, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. Cursed. Lonely. Separated. Humiliated is everyone that is crucified and nailed to a pole, held up between heaven and earth. It's the worst of the worst for someone to be crucified and left for dead thereon. The worst death that could ever be. And not only did he physically endure such agony and torture in the physical sense, but he also bore and paid for our sins there while he hung there on that tree. Humility, willingness, how to be a servant like Christ Jesus. He gave fully of himself, his blood, his body, his course of life, his soul poured out for us. And then the verses go on to tell us, and our Lord goes on to tell us here, verses 9 through 11. In obedience to the Father, in obedience to what the Lord had given to him, and his willingness to be humble in this way and to not think of himself and obey outside from the physical standpoint and within, because of that, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him. We've studied here recently, too, about the rewards that the Lord has promised. And you and I, we're not to serve and obey our Lord for rewards, but we do well to know that they're there. It's an encouragement that the Lord will requite our toil for him. It's his design. It's his purpose. It's not our own idea. But there is a blessing and a reward that our Lord Jesus is experiencing even now because of what he did in obeying the Father. It's just our Lord's good way. He does bless and take care of his servants and his children. Because he was willing and did all this from without and even within, his desire was in line and what with what he did in the will of the Father. God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Amen. There is no greater name than that of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no greater one than that of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he made himself last for us, the Father has and will make him first above all. It's just the way of our Lord. God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, yeah, including the angels. Of things of earth, all of mankind. And things under the earth, even those in hell and the lake of fire to come, will bow unto the Lord. We bow because he's our Lord and our Savior. We bow because he has done such wondrous things for us. We bow because he first loved us and did all that he did perfectly And the unrepentant and the unbelieving sinner will bow because he is their Lord and their King too. Oh, they have rejected him. They have despised him. They have rejected his word and will and way. They have rejected the Savior and his gospel. But they will bow to the praise and honor and glory of our Lord. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things of earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. How to be a servant like Christ Jesus? Without and within. I tell you what, we're going to need the help of our Lord to do so. We need to be praying. I need to be praying that the Lord would help me to do so, to be like Lord Jesus. Not just from without, which we are called to do, but also from within. Every thought, everything, every whit of our being, not taking a part or piece of self and of life and reserving that over for myself, but all things turned over unto the Lord. As I mentioned in conclusion, I mentioned earlier over in John 13:13, where our Lord said, and he had washed the disciples' feet, he said, and these are just supporting examples of what we see in this passage in Philippians 2. John 13:13, "You call me Master and Lord," the Lord Jesus said after he washed their feet, "and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." See, when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he didn't do it with a grudging heart. He did so willingly from within. He did so because it was appropriate to show that humility even unto his own. An example that he has left us. An example that he has left unto us. Our Lord Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Mark, in Mark 9:35, "And he sat down and called the 12, the apostles, and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." You want to be first in the Lord's kingdom, you need to be the servant of all. What is the need? What can you do? What is there that you can do for another? What is there that you can help another? I tell you what, in our self-centered world, it is totally contrary to what we see in the world and what is natural in us, isn't it? In Mark chapter 10, in the next chapter in that gospel, in verse 44, "And whosoever of you will be the chiefest," they've been fussing and arguing amongst themselves about who'd be top apostle. He said, "You want to be chief? You want to be chief?" He said, "Whosoever you will be chiefest shall be servant of all." That's who the Lord will acknowledge as such. I thought of this in Isaiah 53, telling us about our Savior and his rejection, and speaking of this, about he looking on at the things of others, how the Lord Jesus has so done that. Listen what it says in Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 5. "He is despised and rejected of men," our Lord is, "a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." He was not obligated to do so. There was no demand from the standpoint of a demand or requirement that man could. But you know what? We needed somebody to do so. Amen. And we need someone to do so. And he was willing. He could. See, there's some things and what we can do and help for one another that there's just some things that in each one of us, as we look on another and look to help, there's just some things that we can't do. And we, all of us, can pray. But from the standpoint of stepping in physically, sometimes there's just things that we can't do. What's required of us is to do the things that we can do. Because if you can't, you can't. Well, you know what? The Lord Jesus could, and he did. He did. He could, and he did. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. If you're here and you're not saved, and we are saved, we rejoice in this. This next verse in Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Sinner, that's the Savior that you need. See, I couldn't handle the payment. I couldn't handle the beating for my sins. They would kill me. But he could, and he stepped in and did. I couldn't have bore the wounds, but he did. I couldn't have borne the bruises. They would have done me in eternally, but he did. The chastisement for peace with God, I couldn't pay. I couldn't accomplish, but he did. And the stripes that were laid upon him, they would have surely destroyed me. But he could endure, he could withstand, and he did so for me. And if you're here and saved, he did so for you. Brother Matthew, as he writes about this very passage in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 17, I find it very interesting how the Lord laid it upon his heart to write that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Buried our griefs and our sorrows. Our illnesses too. And the greatest illness unto death is that of the sickness of sin. The death of sin that is surely to kill the sinner. He could bear it. And he could take it and bear it and transfer it to us. Imputation, that wonderful thing of imputation that by the power of God that he alone can do. As we consider about how to be a servant like Christ Jesus and the example of these passages that we've seen this morning, let us remember that we are not the servants of men. Oh, yet we serve men unto the gospel while we're serving Christ first. Christ has called us to serve men, but we don't follow and serve men at their directive, but at the directive of the Lord. For the betterment, for the salvation of their souls, for the edification, for the help and the building up of our brothers and sisters in Christ. What a way that is unknown to natural man, but the way of the Lord indeed. We're not the servants of men directly. We're not the servants of the way of man, the lusts of man, or the world system. We are the servants of Christ Jesus and his glorious gospel. I've mentioned this several times in these messages. If you're here and you're not saved, you may believe that you're not the servant of anyone or anything, but you are. You're so bound up in being the servant of self and sin that you're blind to it. You just think that everything's just free and at liberty. You're not. You're bound. You're bound. I tell you what, we tell you, look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God and his gospel for the salvation of your soul, for the rescue and deliverance that you need from the bondage of sin, the bondage of self, to be made by Christ, his servant and his child. I tell you, there's free. The Lord's free man. The Lord's child, the Lord's a servant, the Lord's blessed one that he has done these things for. We point you to him. You need him. You need to be made free. And it says there in John chapter 1, verse number 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that's solid and sure. It's solid and sure. As the Lord tells us in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed.